So we're on Yud Gimel and Aleph, and we're up to Elohad Isnan, which is about maybe 15 lines down from the top. And the first word in the line is Kosuf. Elohad Isnan. So we're taking a look at a Mishnah later on in Bava Metzia. Matza Gitei Noshim V'Shechurei Avodim. If you find a get in the street, or you find the shtar shichur of an eved knani, daitiki is the shtar of a shchiv meira, which means that when a shchiv meira makes its avod, then any eidim who are present there, if assuming they're kosher eidim, they can write up a shtar, and that shtar has a special status called a daitiki. Because divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim kimsurim don. Now, the words of shchiv meira are binding, and therefore they're so binding that you could just write up a document and have two witnesses sign on it. And that's a tzavas shchiv meira. And the yarshim will have to abide by this document, and you don't even need a kinyan, because divrei shchiv meira kiksuvim kimsurim don. So the shtar here is that we shouldn't misunderstand. It's not a shtar kinyan, it's a shtar raya. Matana. And now we're talking about a bari, a healthy person. Mm-hmm. And you find the shtar matana that says that this person gave away whatever it is, his property, so forth and so on. Shovrim, you find the shovra that says that so-and-so paid up his chov. Harezer lo yachzir. In all these cases, the Mishnah says we don't return the shtar to the Baal HaShtar. What are we afraid of? Again, it's all because of the reza of Nefila, that he dropped the shtar. Shemek suvim hayu v'nimlach alev shlo litna. Maybe they were written up. In other words, the Mishchayev commissioned the writing of the shtar. But he changed his mind. It's a little bit difficult in the case of Shchiv Meira to assume he would have changed his mind, but it's possible. So the Gemara asks, according to Abaye, "B'chinim achleim ayav amrin you Abaye hold that eidu b'chasum of zochin lo." So let's take, for example, in the case of a shtar milve. We said that it doesn't make one bit of a difference whether the malve actually gives over the loan. All we need is Eido B'chasum of Zochin Lo. So when the shtar is written, that itself clinches the kinyan. The lover has to pay up the chov. And if he doesn't pay up the chov, then we'll collect it from the yarshim. So once the Eidim sign the shtar, the shibud is chal. And even if he decides later on that he changed his mind, it's irrelevant. He was already meshabed himself, and that kinyan shibud is binding, and it's not retractable. So once that kinyan is done, what's nimlach aleim? You can't change your mind after the kinyan is done. See, very often in halacha, as you and I know, a person does something, but he allows himself a zchus chazara. So, for example, there's a principle of hein hein advarim aniknim ba'amira, that in certain cases you don't even need a kinyan, you need an amira. But in those cases, there's a possibility of chazara. And again, how long of a chazara do you have? So, in general, you have a chazara tokhi dei dibur, but then there are cases where they give you the ability for chazara up until the time that the money was given over to that person. So we mentioned the other, you know, when we were learning the sugi Rav Gamliel, remember with the Meiser, we said that something called Makire Kahuna. So he says to Rav Yeshua that the Meiser that's back in my house is for you. And the question is, in that case, can he be Choser Bo? So they say that since that's Dvar Maniknim Ba'amira, then he allows himself as Chus Chazara up until the point where Rabbi Yeshua actually gets a physical kinyan biyado of the object. But here, In the case of Eidah B'chasum of Zochelo, we're dealing with an outright full-fledged kinyan. The shibud is chal, and the malva is kona the shibud. At that point, there's no such possibility of nivlach aleihem. He can't change his mind. Again, in the case of Shkemira, you might wonder why the Gemara thinks he can't change his mind. It's a case of Dvar Maniknim Bamira, and we said that in Dvar Maniknim Bamira, without a kinyan, you can change your mind. But it's possible that the Gemara is asking its question on the other cases. Here we have, you have Gitei Noshim, Shechurei Vodim, we've got Daitiki, but we also have Matana, we also have Shovrim. So the Gemara answers, you know what? This rule of Abaye, that Eidah V'chasumim Zochlo, is not an absolute rule, but it's a conditional rule. Hani Mili, when do we say that the Shibud is Chal once the Eidim sign the Shtar? That's only in the case of Eicha Dekam Matu Liyodeh. That at some point in the future, after the Zman, the Shtar itself was handed back to the person to whom the Mischayev is Mischayev. So for example, the Lover is Mishabed his Nechasim at the moment that he gives the Shtar Milva over to the Malva. Or for example, if there's a Shtar Matana, so I commission you to write me a Shtar that I'm giving away my Karka, so that Kinyan is only Chal after I actually give you the matana. But until that point, and it works l'mafreya then, right? Because again, it has to work l'mafreya, because the whole point of Abaye is to justify why it's not a pseudo lekuchos. So it's funny, because now we're saying that the kinyan shibud that's written in the shtar is only chal after the shtar is handed over to the malve. But yet we're going to collect from Mishubadim from the date that's written in the shtar. How does that work? And the answer is that Eidim Chasumim Zochelo works l'mafreya. So the Eidim are Zochel the Shibud on behalf of the Lova, but only after the Lova, I'm sorry, on behalf of the Malva, but only after the Malva receives the Shtar from the Lova, and then retroactively the Malva gains Shibudim in the Karka from the moment of the Zman HaShtar.
But he can only collect from the Shibudin if the money isn't paid. He doesn't get his choice to need the Shibudin or Keset. Malva, I'm talking about.
The Malva collects from Shibudin in the event that there are no B'nai Chori.
What I'm saying, he collects from the Shibudin, but only if the Lova doesn't pay.
Right, if there's no B'nai Chori, that's what I said.
But if there's a Kinyan beforehand, on it, then why doesn't he get his choice?
He doesn't get his choice because the Nechasim Mishubadim are what's called Achroim. They're Arevim Lo. It's an Arvus. It's a Kinyan Arvus. Like every time a person takes upon himself Arvus, then there's a Kinyan Arvus which says that if and when this person defaults on his payment, then I'm Chayav.
It's
right?
Not just a Stam Kinyan.
Right. It's Nechasim Shaladim Arevim Lo. It's an Arvus. Mm-hmm. But again, the Arvus is conditional on the Mesiris HaShtar. We're not going to say Eidim Chasumim Zochelo. So the Eidim Chasumim Zochelo is assuming that the Mischayev, so the Mischayev is holding on to the Shtar. The Shtar itself, through the Eidus, is a Kinyan in the Shibudim of the Karka, but the Lover is holding on to the Shtar. He hasn't yet given over the Shtar to the Malva. Once the shtar is given by the lover to the malva, then at that point we're going to apply the principle of kinyan shibudim. And again, the kinyan shibudim is michal from the time of the chesimus ha'edim, but only when the shtar is handed over to the malva. Now you find the shtar in the street, you don't know, was this shtar ever handed over to the malva? You know, the lover might be saying, well, you know what, I never took the loan. Hence, the shibudim could be chal, and the lover could change his mind. Now he says here in the note, "Hagemara sara b'tchila." The Gemara in the Hamina thought she dai b'chasima sa'edim, kemo kol shtar hakno. It's an absolute, unconditional shtar hakno. L'maskana, The Gemara says Yesh Lechali Pein Shtari Hakno, which is a general shtar in which the kinyan is chal at the moment that the shtar is written. That's called a shtar hakno, as opposed to Abaye's Eid of Chasumim Sochin Lo. That's not like a shtar hakno, says the Gemara, but that's a hakno rak kishiyagia liyodo misha nichtav avuro, right, for the person for whom the shtar was written, meaning the malva. You know, it's interesting, I can't find a word in Hebrew for the flip side of the mischayev. Does anybody know such a word?
Flip side of what?
Of the mischayev. The mischayev is the one who took upon himself a chiv. What's the other person called? The person who received that, the benefits of that hischayevus. I don't know.
Beneficiary.
Yeah. Well, what's it called? The Lashon Kodesh. He used the word Misha Nichtav Hashtar Avuro. I mean, right? Misha Nichtav
Hashtar.
Oh, a Zocha. Maybe that's a good word. The Zocha. There's a Mischayev and a Zocha. I like that. That's very good. Okay. Now the Gemara asks another kash on Abai from our Mishnah. Elamas Nisin the Ketoli Motze Shtori Chov. Im Yesh Be Machrayas Nechosin. This is the Shita Rabbi Meir, right? Im Yesh Be Machrayas Nechosin Lo Yachsin. So you find the Shtar Chov, and the Shtar is collectible from Lekuchos. Then we don't return the Shtar because it might cause a Hefzed to the Lekuchos. V'okimna, but we interpret the Mishnah as a case of Kshechayev Moda, because if the Lov is not Moda, if he admits that he hasn't paid up this chov, then you can think about returning the chov, and then you can say, well, there may be pseidel lekuchos. But if he denies that that he owes the chov, then for sure we don't return. That has nothing to do with yesh lamachrayos. So the Gemara says, mishum de shema kosa, why are we afraid of the lekuchos? Shema kosa lilvos bin nisan v'lo lovad tishrei. So the Malva is going to now collect from the Meshubadim back to Nisan, because that's the date written in the Shtar. And the Shiva Nechasim is not Chal until the Halva.
Don't they go to Beis Din to collect from the Lekuchos? Wouldn't Beis Din inquire as to when the loan took place as opposed to when the Shtar says it took place?
So that has to do with the Sugya elsewhere about Shalotinel Delis Vifnei Love, and they made a special takana that we rely on the Shtar and we don't even have to investigate the Eidim. So, you know, the Shtar says that the Halva took place in Nisan, and if there's no race in the Shtar as opposed to our case, then we assume that the Matmos took place in Nisan and you could collect from the Lekuchos. But in a case where the Shtar fell, we don't know. Maybe the Shtar was written up in Nisan, but the Matmos didn't take place until Tishrei. And did I answer your question?
You basically answer by saying that the Beis Din doesn't have enough rias to check to see. Not going to go to the Lov and say, when did you actually borrow the money? They're not going to ask him that.
Right. They're going to rely totally on the Shtar. In that case, the halacha is really tilted in favor of the Malva. Mm-hmm. It's a fascinating concept. I mean, my heart goes out for the Lova. Why are you making it so easy for the Malva that we don't even have to investigate the Eidim? Could you imagine the following scenario? Two Eidim signed the Shtar, and they're right here down the block. And we could ask them, well, does the date reflect the time of the Halva? Or maybe the Halva took place earlier, maybe it took place later, and all these possibilities. There's no drisha v'chakira.
Because the Malva is doing a big taiva.
Correct. And the Chazal want to make it easy for the Malva to lend money. Because the Lovim desperately need the Halva. Why should the Malva be so magnanimous? You know, he needs security. So he has to know that Bezdin is going to rely on this Shtar. The only exception to that rule is Kiyum Shtaros. Because, you know, we have to have some checks and balances to know that the Shtar is not just a forgery, that the Malva wrote up the Shtar, that so-and-so borrowed money from him. But once we know the Eidim signed on the Shtar, you can come up with all sorts of scenarios and possibilities but we're not going to doubt the shtar, even if the edim are there. We're not going to ask him these questions. It's like bunch of shvayg, you know. It's better to be silent. Silence is golden. We're not going to ask any questions. And the shtar is excellent, all because we want to encourage the malvit to lend the money. It goes so far, the Gemara wants to say that the dayanim are responsible, in case they gave a mistaken psak, to pay the malva back. Let's say they paskin that the lova is off the hook, and the lova flew off to wherever he flew. I don't know where he can fly these days, but he China. Flew off to yeah, not to China, right? But he flew off somewhere. I don't know, maybe to the States. He can still go. I don't even know about that anymore. But all right, so he flew off. So now the malva says that there was a mistake in the psak, and we can't track down the lova. So Gemara says the dayanim are going to have to pay out of pocket. This is also to encourage the malva and give him as much security as we possibly can. It's just mind-boggling how it's so paradoxical, because we really want to save the lovin. That deals with the poor people that we want to protect in society. But in order to do so, we're going to tilt the halacha to the other extreme in favor of the malva and make all sorts of enactments and takanos to calm down the malva, that he gets his security. So again, let's just go over the Gemara's kasha one more time. The Mishnah says we can't return the shtar to the malva. And why is that? Shem akasav lulos bin nisan v'lo lova ad tishrei. So the day of the shtar is Nisan, but lamaisa, the lova didn't get the money until Tishrei. So Gemara says, "Bishleim l'ravasi, diomar b'shtoyak naisa." That the only time the Edom could do such a thing is if there's a shtar kinyan, is muki le'bishtari d'loak naisa. Our Mishnah is talking about a case where there's no kinyan of shibudim written in the shtar. Ukramin, as we said earlier, and therefore we have to be worried about the possibility that the shtar was written on an earlier date, and the most we're given later, there's no shibud during that period of time. And will be mafsid l'kucho shalokidim, and that makes a lot of sense. You cannot return the shtar under these circumstances. El labaye diomer edav b'chasum v'zochin lo. So we don't need shtari akna. There's no need for shtari akna because the edim themselves, when they sign the shtar, they generate the shibud at the moment of chasimas ha'edim. Is Michael and Meimar, why are we so nervous about returning the shtar to the malva if Eidu b'chasum zochilo? There's no hefsid for the lekuchos. As we said in the name of the Ramban, and Yechiel was medayik from Rashi as well, this shtar is valid even in event that the lova never gets the money. It's like a whole, a whole fiction, and that's Eidu b'chasum zochilo.
Isn't Abaye's position though that the loan is considered from the time that the shtar is delivered to the malva?
Correct, it's delivered to the malva, and then we said the kinyan shibud is chal mafreh. So if it's chal mafreh,
but if I find the shtar in the rechov,
right,
why can't I make the assumption that it was never delivered, and if it was never chal yet, why do I have to say give it back to him? Maybe he never got it in the first place. According to Abaye,
the question is that the lova's hodah is believed at least to that extent, meaning that since the lova admits that he never paid back this loan, so that allows us to give the shtar back to the malva and not assume that the malva never received the shtar from the lova. In other words, Hodos Valdin Kibeh Eidon. We're saying, wait a minute, did the Lova actually deliver the shtar to the Malva? So in a case of Nimlach Aleihem, the Lova could decide, I'm not going to hand over the shtar. But here's a case where the Lova, by his own admission, handed over the shtar. So what do we have to be worried about? The Lekuchos. Affecting more, what are you worrying about the Lekuchos for? The shtar indicates that the Kinyan is Chal, again, from the moment that the shtar is handed over to the Malva, it's Chal Mafreya from the time of the Chasimus HaShtar. So from Rosh Chodesh Nisan, these fellows who bought the karka, they realized that they had to understand that there's a lien on the karka. So why are we so inhibited about returning the shtar to the malva? Now this is really getting desperate. Meaning, what we have to do now is create a chashash based on the fact that the shtar fell, and we have to like invent a whole story that may have taken place here, which is going to cause the lekuchos a loss shelo kedin, and that's called chayshina lekinunya. Amalei Abayi masnisen hayu time of the chayshina lekinunya lepiron lekinunya. What does it mean? The lov actually paid off this chov, but he's telling the malvi, you know what? You hold on to the shtar, and you're going to use that shtar to collect from lekuchos. Nobody has to know that he already paid you up. And after you collect for the lekuchos, we'll make out, we'll cut a deal. You know, I'll get a certain percentage, and you get a certain percentage. So he writes here, he has a summary here of the Rishonim. He says, Shema Nifra Hachov Ukvar Batel Shibra Shtar. In truth, this shtar has no power to collect from Mishubada because it was already paid up. But also Amalva Alova Kidnunya Beinayim Sheyoda Alova Bechovo, the Lova will confess his owing the Chov. Yigva Malvik Karkas, again he's going to have to get rid of all his Bnei Chori. I don't know how that works, but anyway, Yigva Malvik Karkaosa Karkas Me'alukuchos, the Echalku Bnei'im, we'll share the spoils. Lakach Bishtasha Kosabach Rais, which could be collectible from the Lukuchos. Nechosim Lo Yachse, I'm sorry, from Achrayis Nechosin, Lo Yachzir Hamotzei Es Ashtar, he shouldn't return the shtar to the hands of the Malvis, he'll collect from the Lekuchas, because maybe the shtar was already Nimchal Shibudo, and there already was a Piron. Oh, so now we have to make two comments. Number one, two limitations. Limitation number one is, what about a shtar that doesn't have Achrayis? So if the shtar doesn't have Achrayis, there's no there's no possibility that the lekuchas will suffer any loss. Then all you have to worry about is the lova. Well, the lova is admitting that he didn't pay up the chov. And the second limitation is you have to say we're talking about a case where where the malva dropped the shtar, or somebody dropped the shtar, and that's why we're coming up with this wild, fantastical idea of kinunya. You know, I always say that these kinds of gemaras should be hidden because, you know, you're telling me all the secrets about what I can do. You know, sometimes they analyze what the terrorists do. You know what I'm saying? And I think they should leave it out because maybe that information shouldn't be revealed.
What about the kukos from now going forward?
If we return the shtar, yeah, or we didn't return?
In a case where I've already paid off the loan, we'll have already paid off, but they made a deal, and I give you back your shtar. You can't collect from there before because there's no, it wasn't nechtav achrayis in the shtar. But from there are the kuchos going forward. What if I sell a piece of land tomorrow?
Doesn't matter. It's a milval peh. If there's no achrayis in the shtar, it becomes a milval peh. And milval peh is there's no kinyan shibud, meaning the lova never transferred ownership to the malva over the karka. And again, this all has to do with the question of Achrayis Tosofa, which is the next sugya we're going to pick up, right? But if we're assuming law amrita, if we hold that's Rabbi Yeshita that law amrita Achrayis Tosofa, then it was a deliberate omission of Achrayis in the shtar. It wasn't just a matter of the Sofer forgot to write Nechosai Achroin Arvoin. It wasn't an oversight on that part. It was deliberately omitted, which means it's a milval peh for all intents and purposes.
And there's no lekuchos.
And then the reason why the malva wants such a shtar, you might ask me if it's a milval peh, what did he gain by the shtar? The answer is so that the lova cannot claim parati. So it does give the malva a certain element of security. But on the other hand, if there was no instruction on the part of the lova to write achrayis in the shtar, the malva is going to be out without his money if the lover defaults on the loan. He has no recourse to collect from Shibuya because he doesn't have Shibuya. Now this touches on a machlokes at the end of Bavasa whether Shibuya Dorais or Lav Dorais. So let's just assume Shibuya Lav Dorais. So a milvaval peh, according to Torah law, is not collectible from a Shibuya. You can collect from an Echori. I mean, I can take the shirt off his back if he doesn't pay me, but I can't go to his lekuchos because the malva has no shibud. Therefore, we need a shtar to create shibudim, and according to Rabbi Meir, the shtar has to indicate that the lova is being makne his shibudim to the malva. And if that's omitted, it was a deliberate omission. That's Rabbi Yeshiva. But if the shtar has a chrayas in it, then it's a very powerful weapon in the hands of the malva vis-a-vis the lekuchos. And maybe this was a collusion. I don't know what it's called. What do you call it when two people get together to try to cheat someone else?
Collusion.
It's called a conspiracy, a collusion. Yeah. All right, because my wife always says I make up words. So collusion. It's a kenunya. Now again, you're only choshish for kenunya because he dropped the shtar. Otherwise, every shtar would be completely possible. You know what I'm saying? This is a great idea. I don't know why the Gemara feeds me these ideas, but let's get together. We'll write a shtar that I owe you 1,000, and we'll use the shtar to collect from Lekuthus. The whole thing is gebluffed. It never existed. Lo nivra. And then we'll split the goods. But the answer is that's a koch shtar. The koch shtar is that when the malva is holding on to the shtar, we believe that everything was kedasu kedin. Everything was kosher. And it wasn't a kenunya. It's almost like being naive. There's no proof that this shtar is valid. The Edom are nowhere to be found. Mm-hmm. Maybe the whole thing was a kenunya. So the Gemara says, I just wanted to finish this paragraph here. Vol b'shtar shelo nichtabo achrayis nechosim sov rav meir sheyachzir amotzis ashtar lemalva kevan shalova moda v'chovo v'ein roi ligvos milekuchos. Rabbanan Savri, Lamrot Shalom Nichtav Shtar Nechosim, Achrayis Nechosim B'Shtar, Eimach Zirin, so Kevash Achrayis Toz Sofer. So he's already letting the cat out of the bag. I mean, Achrayis Toz Sofer is going to be the next Sugya. He's telling you that the Rabbanan and our Mishnah will return the Shtar. I'm sorry, the Rabbanan in our Mishnah will not allow you to return the Shtar, even if there's no Achrayis in the Shtar, because Achrayis Toz Sofer and every Shtar Milva is collectible from Lekuchos. Now, I'm just wondering about something called a Ksav Yado, which we call in English an IOU note. Mm-hmm. Right, an IOU note has no Edom on it. It's just written in his signature, and he signs it, and we can verify his signature, and the Lova says, I owe you such amount of money. Would that shtar be collectible from Lekuchos? In the case of Achrayis Toz Sofer, means it was an official shtar that was written, and the sofer wrote the shtar. He was commissioned to do so by the lover. And we're assuming that the reason why they were writing the shtar to upgrade this halva from a halva of milva balpeh to milva shtar is in order to create shibudim Achrayis Toz Sofer. If the sofer omitted Achrayis, we assume that there was a hischayvus for that. But that's only in a case where Edom are signing on the shtar. If there's no signature of Edom, do we assume that the Lova was Meshabed is Nechasim? And there's no mention of Achrayis in the Nechasim. Again, it's theoretically possible that the Lova was Meshayev, but we have no proof to that effect. In the case where he wrote a shtar, why did he upgrade the level of Alva by introducing two Edom to write a shtar? And the answer is, the Malva demanded a shtar. Why is the Malva demanding a shtar? If you hold Achrayis Toz Sofer, it's because he wants to collect from the Shubot. He wants the extra security. So it's not just that he wants the security that the Lova should not be able to say what? Parati. So it's not just in Hilchus Rayas. It's in Hilchus Kinyonim. He wants the shtar to effectuate a Kinyon, and that's called Eidim B'chassum of Zochim. So if you combine A plus B, if you accept A, Achrayis Toz Sofer, and B, then you can only say the following, that if you find the shtar, so what's so terrible here? The Lekuchos are not losing anything? Even if you hold a Achrayis Toz Sofer, there is a Achrayis in the shtar, and the Malva can collect from the Lekuchos. What have you lost over here? So the answer is that all of a sudden we come up with this fantastical possibility that maybe the whole thing was a kenunya. And therefore, we cannot give this shtar back to the Malv. Now, again, Rabbi Osai, the Malv is not in terrible shape. He still could collect from the Lov, and the Lov admits that he owes the Chol. But he's in terrible shape if he wants extra security. What he should have done is lock the shtar up in a safe. Mm-hmm. The moment he loses the shtar carelessly, he's in trouble. Certain things we have to hold on to. A document that testifies to a loan, you better keep it under lock and key. It's like your automobile. You're going to have to get an alarm system, otherwise the insurance is going to double your thing. He needs an insurance on the shtar, because the moment he loses the shtar, we all of a sudden we invent this chashashim kinunya. I is not Christ, and the shtar the chacham say Christ told so. But the Gemara says this is against Shmuel. Ulishmuel di Omar lo chayshina lepiron ulikinunya. In other words, even when you find a shtar, again, we're always talking about a case where you found a shtar. If you didn't find a shtar, nobody holds the chayshina lekinunya. But you found a shtar, and Shmuel says that you return the shtar to the malve. The lov is saying, I didn't pay back the shtar, but Shmuel says, you know what? Let's rely on the lov. We're not going to assume that there's some hanky-panky going on. Lo chayshinu lepiron ulekinunya. And this is a pella, because this undermines the whole svara that we've been talking about tfisas baal shtar. Because if there's no tfisas baal shtar, who's going to answer up to all the issues that might come up? And all the fakers regarding the shtar. One of those fakers is chayshin l'kinunya. So Shmuel says no. But we don't have to be choshish l'kinunya. The human being has a certain natural intuitive commitment to be an upstanding citizen. We don't have to. You know, there are two types of people in the world. There's one type of person who suspects everybody. He's always trying to figure out how the person's trying to cheat him. Yeah. And there's another person who has I don't mean naive in a pejorative sense, but has a natural reliance upon everybody. You know, no one's trying to cheat me, and I can run. So, just to make the machlokas here, psychological machlokas, Shmuel says, we don't have to worry that a person is coming up with this whole fantastical kinunya, and he's lying. Because again, it takes two to tangle. You got to get the two people together in a room, and they both have to agree, and this guy got shishi last Shabbos. This guy got shishi this Shabbos. I mean, all of a sudden, everybody's cheating everybody else. So that's Shmuel Shita. Lo chayshinu lepiron ulekinunya.
I'm just reading the Masechta here, and his logic is very strange, because he's implying that the reason why we're not close to the kinunya is because they wouldn't have thought of the kinunya at the time of the loan. They were thinking of the kinunya later on, after he already paid it off. Maybe a week or two later, he says, you know what? Remember that shtar when I paid it off? Let's play this game. But he says, he can't do it because he would have ripped it up. It's like he says, why is Shmuel Choshes Bel Tosman?
Right. In other words, this is the opposite of a Baal Tshuva, right? All the halachas are built on the fact that if a person violates the Torah, by tomorrow morning he did Tshuva. You know, you have to be Danim Lekavskus, right? Here we're going the opposite. This guy was an upright citizen, and somehow he went sour. At what point did he go sour? When he started thinking, hey, you know what? You're holding on to the Shtar. Let's use the Shtar. Very strange. But again, Shmuel is not choshish to be wrong, because he thinks that the guy was honest, and he's not going to change his mind if the shtar was parua. But let me read it inside. He says, "Im hashtar hoya parua." So what are we afraid of? That all of a sudden he would decide, "Hey, you're holding on to the shtar." No. Once you have the piron, the shtar is gone. Why? Because they rip up the shtar. But you're right. I mean, the psychology here is maybe he became a bad guy. You know, so if he would have become a bad guy, a moment after he paid the shtar,
before he's just like, "I'm giving back the money. Before, let's make a deal. Don't rip it off."
Right. And so why isn't Shmuel worried about that?
Why is he not? Yeah. Does he ever hold from kinunya? Does Shmuel call it Torah Kula? Hold me not closer to kinunya?
I don't know. Not sure. We didn't get to the sugya. It's a sugya later on. About kinunya, I don't even know where it is, but there's a famous sugi about chayshir l'kinunya, lo chayshir l'kinunya. And the Rav would insist that we make it into lamdas here. You know, I'm telling you psychological stuff. You know, man is good until proven evil. You know what I mean? That if I said that the Rav shit, he would bounce me out of my head in about 3 seconds. You know, say, but that's a sugi. So the Gemara says, "Ha nichoi sova kirav asi." So we could get away with it, and we could link up Shmuel with Rav Asi. if we link up with Shmuel with Rav Asi, then Rav Asi is saying that that Kosin Shtalu Lo Vaf Pishein Mal Ve'Imo. When did the Edom have the right to write up the shtar, even if the lo, if the malva is not present? That's only b'shtarei hakna. Correct. That's only. But let's say our mission is to our mission is to make shtar yidulav. There's no hakna written in the shtar, and now you want to return the shtar to the malva. One second. So if we hold lo chayshina lepiron. One second. I just have to go over the Gemara one more time. So if you hold like Rav Asi, so then what do we say with Choshesh that he predated, that he postdated the shtar or predated the shtar? Just one second. Is that, do I just want to make sure I got this right? According to Rav Asi, Nechushem Akosav Luvos Benisan Velo Lova Ad Tishrei. So we're worried about the lekuchos, and Rav Asi says the only time that we're not worried about the lekuchos is a case where what? Where he has shtari akno. Oh, so the, because Rav Asi rejects Abaye, so he doesn't have eid of a chasum of zochenlo. So the only way the shiva could be chal is through what? Through a kinyan. This shtar has no kinyan in it. And therefore, we have to worry about the Torah for Lekucha Shalotidin. Why? Because Asa, he wrote the shtar in Nisan, and it wasn't, and there was no matmos until no Tishrei. Kenya. So during that 6 month, of, what?
There's no Kenya.
Well, what are we? Are we holding now that there is a Christ in the shtar? I thought we're holding now that there's a Christ in the shtar.
Yeah.
I thought they said there's no
Zafar. Well, that's the Chachamim. We're trying to make sense out of Rav Meir, right? We worry. What is Rav Meir's fear over here? Rav Meir says that you can't give the shtar back because it has a Christ, and the lekuchas are going to lose, right? Says Abaye. Well, wait a minute. Eid of Aksum Zochelo. So even if he never lent them the money, the lekuchas are on the firing line.
Right.
Right? So Abai says, but we have to be choshes l'kinunya. Well, that option is not available for Shmuel, because Shmuel holds we're not choshes l'kinunya. So once again, if you're not choshes l'kinunya, and you're holding Eidim v'chasum v'zochilo, because we're trying to reconcile Shmuel with Abaye, so then why can't you return the shtar? So the answer is that Shmuel is going to have to hold like Rav Asi. And Rav Asi was of the opinion that we don't hold from Eid of a Chasum Zochel. So basically, the Gemara says you cannot reconcile Shmuel and Abai. Because the only reason that Shmuel would justify not returning the Shtar to the Malveh is based on Kinunya. Shmuel doesn't hold of Kinunya, so why not return the Shtar? The answer is Shmuel doesn't hold like Abai. He never had Eid of a Chasum Zochel. So therefore, you need a special Kinyan. And Mimonashach. If there's a Kenyan, then Enochinabi will return the shtar to the Malva. But if there's no Kenyan, then we won't return the shtar to the Malva, because maybe the shtar is dated 6 months before the Halva took place. Mm-hmm. How can you return such a shtar? You'll be Govim Lekuchas Lo Kedin. Eidav Achasum Zochelo. Shmuel never accepted Eidav Achasum Zochelo. So Shmuel rejected Abaye on two counts. Number one, he never accepted Eidav Achasum Zochelo. And therefore, there's no absolute kinyan of shibudim to be mechayev the lekuchos, even in event that there was no what?
Loan.
There was no loan. And number two, we're going to be afraid of the absence of the malva at the time that the shtar was written up, which means that the lova wrote the shtar in the absence of the malve, and therefore maybe the loan took place 6 months down the line. So if we don't have Eidav HaChasum of Zochelo, we're going to be Torah Flekucha Shalom Kiddin. And Rav Asi says we have to worry about that possibility, because we don't hold Eidav HaChasum of Zochelo, we can't give back the shtar unless it's the shtar HaKno. And we're talking about a shtar Sheinu HaKno, so the shtar has Achrayus, but it doesn't have HaKno.
But he does hold Shalom Kiddin yet.
So therefore, what's going to be the worst case scenario? Why are we afraid of giving the shtar back to the malva? The answer is because the lova, let me say better, the malva was not present at the time that the lova commissioned the writing of the shtar.
But the fact is, the malva knows when he gave him the loan. And if he's trying to collect beforehand, he knows his Baharama.
Right, so how does this shtar work against Lekuchos in the event that the malva is being marred? If the malva...
if he's being marred, then he gets away with it.
So therefore we can't give back the shtar. Why? Because if we give the shtar back to the malva is going to collect for the Lekuchos.
So you're saying he doesn't hold for Kanunya, but he still holds for Baharama.
Well, again... The problem with Kinunya that Shmuel is concerned about is that there was Alva, the Lova paid up the Chov, and then afterwards they decided to make a Kinunya with the Shtar Shemim Chal
Shimu. This way, that's not happening.
That's not going to happen,
okay,
says Shmuel, because he's going to rip up the Shtar.
But what still is happening,
you know, let me put it to you this way. The Lova is not going to trust the Malva to hold on to the Shtar. Yeah, right. And he's not even going to trust himself to watch the shtar. So what he's going to do is, he's going to take the shtar and he's going to cut it into pieces.
Yeah, but what he's saying basically is, it's not that he doesn't believe that there are liars in the world, but he doesn't think there are two liars at the same time that are making up this kinunya.
Right, or he doesn't believe that a person, for the sake of a lie, would expose himself to have someone collect money from him. Yeah. Meaning, to allow this shtar to float around through the universe and maybe the malva get a hold of the shtar, he won't do that.
Right. But the Malva itself won't do it.
In fact, I'm not sure about this, but it could be that Chayshin L'Kinunya assumes that the Lova is going to allow the Shtar to remain in the hands of the Malva.
Yeah.
In order that the Malva could collect from the Lekuchos. Shalom Kiddin.
Yeah, of course, that's part of the Kinunya.
The Lova would be putting himself into a very, very sensitive situation.
Right.
Imagine if I go into a business deal with you in which we're going to cheat somebody and we'll split the goods, but I'm going to allow you to collect from, you know, we're both bad guys, right?
Yeah,
but one bad guy doesn't trust the other bad guy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
The Malva holds all the cards.
Correct. Once you allow the Malva to hold on to the shtar, he can say, forget about this Kinunya business. I'm just going to collect from the Lova a second time around. So the Lova doesn't want to expose himself to that vulnerability, right. So he definitely wants to get rid of the shtar. Therefore, the whole Kinunya business falls away. That's Shmuel's sheet. And if we assume that in our Mishnah, Shtar Sheish Bachrayis, that we found in the street, we can't return it to the Malva, then Shmuel, and we assume like Abaye, that Eidim B'chasum Zochid Lo, so even if the Lova wrote the Shtar, Shalo B'fnei HaMalva, right?
Yeah.
There's still no problem of Asi L'mitzvah L'kuchah Shalom Kedin because Eidim B'chasum Zochilo. So according to Shmuel, who says there's no Chashin L'kinunya, why not return the shtar to the Malv? And the answer has to be that Shmuel rejects the principle of Eidim B'chasum Zochilo. But Eli Sovrek Abaye, but what, you know, Abaye's not going to be happy. Shmuel is a first generation Amora. You know, it's not so comfortable to say, you know, for Abaye to agree that Shmuel rejects. I mean, he knows that Shmuel rejects Chayshin and Kinunya, but does he reject Eidim V'chasum and Zochilo?
Yeah, but Eidim V'chasum and Zochilo is a very problematic thing, too, because the fact is, so what that he was from the beginning. But since the shtar didn't get to the malva till later, then what happened is when the lova sold the property, there was no kol saying that this was that this was.
Oh, the kol! I think we discussed this. The kol is generated by the by the chasima sa'id.
Ah.
We discussed this. I don't ask me who said it, but I'll find it for you. That the kol is generated by the chasima sa'id. Because if there's no kol, the whole institution of gvir milukuchos goes down the tubes. Our whole sugya is built on a shtar sheyesh ba'achrayis, which is collectible from lukuchos. They have to assume there's a kol.
Okay.
And that kol begins with the chasima sa'id, way before the alva in this case, okay. If you're assuming kos vin shtar lalova afal pishein malva ima. So the Gemara is now looking for a way of reconciling Abaye, Eidim V'chasum Zochilo, with Shmuel, and coming up with some justification as to why Rabbi Meir and our Mishnah insists that we can't return to the shtar to the Malba. If you're not choshe l'kinunya, if you hold Eidim Chasum of Zochlo, what's the problem? Why can't you return the shtar to the Malva? And the Gemara answers, Shmuel Muki l'masnisu k'she ein chayav mod. Now this makes no sense whatsoever. This is, I told you, this is a violation of one of the Yud Gimel Ikri Adas. There's no way that you can interpret our Mishnah in a case where the Lova denies the Chob, meaning that he claims he paid back. How could you give a shtar back to the Malv when the Lova's claiming he didn't pay back? And the Mishnah itself says that if the shtar she'ein bo achrayis, we're going to give it back to the Malva because there's no hefsid l'kuchos. So now Shmuel is saying, oh, we can't give it back to the Malva because there's a hefsid alova. No, if there's a hefsid alova, so how does the Mishnah say that in the case of a shtar she'ein bo achrayis, we give it back to the Malva?
What are you claiming again?
Are you still let him collect a second time for the Lova? You know, my heart goes out for the Lova too. I mean, I'm all in favor of the Malva, but ayesh gevul. The Lov is saying, I paid up the Chov. The Malva has no Tfisus Balashtar. We're going to give him back the most powerful. It's almost like money. You're finding money. The Lov is saying, it's my money. The Malva is saying, it's my money. We're going to give it back to the Malva.
Why? Shmuel was of the opinion that we don't hold Kenunim, since he holds it, he's an MS sticker guy. The Malva is not going to collect the second time. If the MS, you really pay.
So why does the Malva want the Shtar? He want to hang it up on his wall. I don't think so. Anyway, so the Gemara says, if Shmuel holds that we're talking about a case in our Mishnah where the Lova denies the Chov, meaning he says he paid back the Chov, is Kiyem Ben Machrayis Amay Yachzir? Right, Rabbi Meir is saying that if there's no problem with Lekuchos, then there's no inhibition, no hesitation of returning the Shtar to the Malva. How could that be? So Gemara says, Nehidolo Gavi Mimishabdei Mibnechori Migba Gavi. The Azla, I'm sorry, Shmuel Tamei, the Omer Shmuel, Omer Hayirab Meir, Shtar Chov She'ein Bo Achrayis Nechosim, is Eino Go Velo Mishamdi Velo Mi B'nei Chori. So maybe you're right, it's just Lotzer Al Pitzli Chuso. One second, let me read this again. Amai Yachzir, Nehidlo Gov Mishamdi. Oh yeah, this is part of the Kasha, so Gemara answers that Shmuel is Latamei, the Omer Shmuel, Omer Ayur Rab Meir, Shtar Chov She'ein Bo Achrayis Eino Govel Lo Mishavdi Lo Minei Chori. So I guess it's just Lotzo Al Pitzli Chuso, I guess. He's just hanging it up on his wall. Does anybody point this out here?
So that's the next question.
So we could have written the next few lines of the Gemara. What's the whole deal over here? What is it, toilet paper? So the Gemara answers, yeah, it's toilet paper. In other words, we're looking at the shtar as a cheftishal moment, as gufo moment, not as a cheftishal shtar raya. In Hilchas raya, the shtar is worthless. Why? Because he dropped the shtar. The moment he dropped the shtar, the lover says, I already paid up the chov. The shtar is worthless as a shtar raya. But it's gufo moment. You know, you pay yourself for good money and the klaf and everything else. I don't know, maybe he could erase the osios on the klaf and he could bark at the klaf.
He can still collect the money though, can't he?
No, we're holding that like Reb Meir. Reb Meir holds that a shtar is, if it's a shtar, what does he call it here? The shtar she'ein bo achrayus.
So there's no achrayus.
Wait a minute, is Reb Meir talking about a case where he dropped the shtar, right? Let me just make sure I'm not misleading you here.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Shmuel Tamidomer Shmuel, Omer Yom Reb Meir, shtar chov she'ein bo achrayus lechosen.
There's still the
case. Yeah, it must be a case where he dropped the shtar. Just one second, somebody has to point that out. I'll tell you what he means. He means that the lov is claiming parat.
Well, I hear that, but the masitis in the last line in the right column says elatoyin shlo haisa halavo av hashtar bezuyif. He's not claiming the shtar is bezuyif again.
Yeah, but that's a problem because then what happens if we mekayim the shtar? I would say again. I'm not in the sugi yet, but if you'd ask me, I would say the lov is claiming parat. Well, and therefore, the Malva can't claim from anything.
Well, then you can't give it back to him if he claims for IT.
No, but we're saying you have to give it back to him so that he can use it as a bottle cap.
The Lova you're talking about. But I mean,
I'm saying give it to the Malva.
Give it to the Malva, the Malva will collect.
No, he won't collude.
Why won't
Rabbi he? Says you dropped the shtar, we give it back to you. I don't know if you're gonna, you maybe you have to write an X on the shtar. I don't know what you do.
Well,
but such a shtar cannot be used to collect. The lover is saying parati, and he's believed to say parati.
All right,
Rav Osai, I want to finish up a little bit on Birchas Hashkita today.
But isn't this just a halacha in general? I mean,